from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Wearing the wrong glasses today.
I was going to ask you when we started, I don't know if you noticed, I gave you I had maybe a quizzical look. I felt quizzical looking at you when we started, because I definitely noticed
I couldn't see you.
That you were wearing different glasses yesterday, and then I thought, how often do you wear different glasses, and why do I not usually notice?
It's not that often.
Okay.
Like, going out, I'll wear different glasses, because they're different colors.
Yeah.
But I wore these also when I'm golfing.
Okay.
These blue ones are tighter to my face than the green ones. So, like, for playing golf, I wear the blue ones if I think of it, because they're less likely to fall off when I'm over the ball.
Right.
That's where I'm at in life.
Key element. Yeah.
And today I did Matthew Collar's podcast, Purple Insider, and I was just wearing colors. So I decided to wear the blue ones and then forgot to change. Yeah. They work well enough that I didn't realize that I had like glasses on where I can't see as well.
Yeah.
But then I get in here and I'm reading all day, and it's definitely a problem.
The only time I wear my glasses now is when I'm driving, because I can't see my computer screens with my glasses, because I need new ones.
Listen to us. Has the show
new ones.
Ever sounded older?
Sal, save us.
Does Sal wear glasses?
Sal does not wear glasses, that I know of anyway.
I don't even know. I don't think I can picture you in glasses.
I've never had to wear. I don't wear reading glasses. I don't wear contact lenses, but I wear sunglasses. I actually have very sensitive eyes, and like, I have sunglasses on right now, and people say a lot to me that they always see me with sunglasses on, and part of the reason, sometimes I'm on TV even, they have the bright lights that are shining on TV when we're outside. You know, I do some stuff for Channel 4, and I'll tell Scott Swenson, video guy who's shooting, I said, do you mind if I put my glasses on? So my eyes are watering because they get so sensitive.
Yes, I think I've seen a Twitter picture of you, maybe a profile pic with sunglasses on. Well, bad news, buddy. It's inevitable. I didn't realize this until I was either turning 50 or almost turning 50, where I was at the eye doctor, and he's like, no, it's not like your hair or anything like this where you might be able to just always have perfect vision. It's going to be, by the time you turn 50, the cells might just hang up at this point. By the time you turn 50, it will turn. So I just want to prepare you for that.
Okay, well, I just turned 51, and I'm still pretty darn good, Matt, Mike. So you know what? I'm just going to hold on to that for a little while instead of your negativity.
I'm texting my eye doctor right now to tell him about you.
I hope you run long and hard in that area. I didn't know my eyes were deteriorating until I started riding to remotes with Mike. This is 20 years ago now, maybe? I don't know, 15 years ago? And he would see, he could read road signs, and to me, they were just a blurry mess. I'm like,
wow,
this is not a good sign. Like, I need to go, and that's when I finally threw myself on the, I need glasses.
Remember Rob Ray for this,
yes,
by the way?
Yes,
like, because Rob would, Rob basically talked like Sal, which is like, oh, I'm fine.
I'm good.
Yeah. And but then he was like, I can't really see, but I don't need him. I don't need him. So, there's one Rob Ray. Okay, Sal, so I hope I'm not just springing this on you, but I might be. I'm worried. Bulldog and I were talking earlier about how we remember feeling about the upcoming Bills season last year versus right now. A lot of this summer has been, oh, Diggs is gone, Hayden Poyer, Trey White, Morse, you know, the list. It's a different sounding offseason. I can't remember too much in detail what last year, what the talking points were. Edmonds had left, Dalton Kincaid. You know, the coaching staff is the same, or maybe it wasn't. Frazier had left, so that's not exactly right. I don't know. Can you remember, like, what we were talking about last summer, how you felt, and compare that to right now?
You know, I was listening. You are springing on me, but I'm prepared because I was listening with you guys. It was a really fascinating discussion, and one thing that I thought about, I do remember one thing, player, that we talked a lot about last summer was Gabe Davis. We talked a lot about Gabe Davis last year and what his role is going to be and, you know, him, are they going to extend him and, you know, what kind of season he can have, how much are you going to rely on him? And as it turned out, it was just kind of the same kind of season and, you know, it got a little bit hurt at the end of the year. Dalton Kincaid was a big talking point. As far as the overall team, I think it was more about did their window pass them by? Are they are they too old? Are they, you know, have they are they unable to do this anymore with their current core? But then again, you knew they had a good core, and you knew they had a team that would still probably be in contention. For me, this year, the difference is, yes, I'm less optimistic about them contending for a Super Bowl. But as I say to everybody when I go on national radio shows or other markets, well, they still have Josh Allen, and that's, you know, the number one thing. But it's not about necessarily being more concerned. The word is just wondering. I'm just wondering what they are this year. I have no freaking clue. Like, I want to this is going to play out so much in a let's see what they have type of scenario than any other season. Even when they lost to Pittsburgh in the opener a couple years ago, even when they lost to the Jets last year, maybe a little differently in that scenario, but I was never worried. Like, nah, they're still going to be good. They're probably still going to win the division. Like, if they go out and lose the Arizona Cardinals, it's panic time, I think. If they go out and boat race them and win by 26 points, I'll be like, yeah, they might have. They might be better than they've been. I have no idea.
Yeah. And I think part of what sprung this conversation was me just wondering about Joe Brady. So, like, we still really don't know. I mean, we know what they did last year. We know they ran it more. You know, that Dallas game probably really weighs that down. But still, they ran it more in neutral situations last year than they had prior to him taking over. And so, like, that's really the only thing we've got on him. And I'm wondering, like, is it, you know, maybe he's really good at this. Like, I'm excited to see what his offense, like, I know we've talked about that everybody eats and there's we don't need an alpha dog and no one's going to know who's getting the ball and all this sort of stuff. And I've taken my turns, like everyone, poking holes in that. But overall, I don't know what Joe Brady is really going to be all about. Maybe he'll use motion to really open things up. And maybe there'll be just a lot of scheming guys open. And this could really work. You know, I mean, he did not have a chance to really put his full thing in place when he took over last year.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we are all wondering. And I'll even add this, guys. I really believe that this year they have even held way more back than any other year I can remember. I mean, they're always vanilla anyway. I mean, every team is. I think it's even more so this year, and it's intentional because other teams don't know what Joe Brady's going to be like. Other teams don't know what they're going to do with Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel all being injured now and Khalil Shakir. Like, I think the Bills are intentionally saying, we're giving you zip on anything we're doing offensively, and that's why I can't get any read on what's happening here in the preseason with Joe Brady, on top of the fact that I'm already wondering myself what to expect from him.
Might get back to some of this. Let's catch up on what, if anything, newsworthy might have developed today. Another practice for the Bills. Their next preseason game is Saturday. We know that the plan is for none of the starters to play in this game, partly or largely because of the injuries the Bills have incurred. What's today's news?
Well, another day, another safety return. It's really encouraging. And really, one and a half safeties kind of return, to be honest with you. Yesterday was Cole Bishop, red non-contact jersey. He still did not take any team reps today, just an individual. But that was the same again today for Mike Edwards. Now, he did not even wear a red non-contact jersey today. He was in a blue jersey, but he didn't take any team reps. He only did an individual. But, man, what good news that is for the Bills to now have both those guys back with their team practicing. And DeMar Hamlin, who has a hamstring injury, actually was working with trainers and doing footwork drills and shuffling and things like that off to the side, which, because of the hamstring injury, that's super encouraging that he's already to that point. So I think today that news is really good for the Bills, you know, on the injury front. And then, you know, other guys are still progressing. I saw Curtis Samuel, Bale Inspector, Quentin Morris all off to the side on the exercise bike. So they're still without them. But, you know, Nicholas Morrow is still back at practice as he has been a couple of days now. He hasn't done any team reps, but, you know, at least they're kind of getting back to getting some of these guys, you know, back where they should be.
And would you, if Edwards is able to continue to progress from doing what he did today and get through really the rest of the summer here leading up to week one, Sal, like practicing fully eventually here, would you guess that he'll be the guy next to Taylor Rapp, assuming no other injuries occur back there?
It's a really great question. I think it all depends on how much up to speed he gets. That also goes with Cole Bishop. Now, I think Edwards would have more of a chance than Bishop in this regard. He's been in the league. You know, he's been a good player in the league. He's been in similar systems. I think it's a little bit tougher for Cole Bishop to get there as quick as Mike Edwards, given the time that both these guys missed. Yeah, I think that would be the scenario that you could see, but I could see Bishop being out there first if they feel he really got up to speed and they really want to put him out there. I would also tell you guys, though, that to remember, I mean, the Bills have 2 games in 5 days to start the season. And if it's anything close at all, they may say, you know what, we're going to roll with Cam Lewis starting at safety, or DeMar Hamlin if he's back at safety. We can't risk having either, you know, Mike Edwards or Cole Bishop go out there week one and something happens that we lose them for that important week two division game just 5 days later. Yes, if everybody's healthy, I think it would lean towards Mike Edwards, Bulldog. But I just think that, you know, there's still questions about getting him up to speed and where he needs to be with the defense.
You know, by the way, sorry to double back, but Sal, no kidding about that week one scenario. Like, yeah. Arizona is just, I mean, here I go hating on them again. But, like, that's just the state of the franchise or the history of the franchise. Like, nobody would ever want to lose a home game to Arizona, you know?
Right.
And then the Bills go 4 out of 5 on the road after that, including the next Thursday in Miami, where it will feel like, we know that this isn't how you're supposed to do it, and it won't be how they would talk, but it will feel like, well, they have to win there because, you know, they kind of own Miami, and then after that you have Jacksonville, but at the Ravens, at the Texans, at the Jets are the 3 games from weeks 4 to 6. No kidding. I mean, who knows what the game would look like or anything, and maybe the Cardinals are actually good, but it's just because of, like, it's the Cardinals. It would not go over great.
No, I agree with you, and that's a gauntlet, man, to start the season. It really is. Now, who knows what teams are, what they become, and things always change throughout the season. We know that from week to week. You know, is Aaron Rodgers actually, you know, 40 years old coming off an Achilles? What does that look like, you know, week 6? Is C.J. Stroud still as great as, you know, everybody, he appeared to be last year? There's going to be some more film on him. All those things can happen. But, man, you drop that Arizona game, I think we are really looking at a situation where, you know, we're just kind of hoping maybe the Bills are going to win a playoff race in December. It might not be reality, but that will certainly be the perception and the talk of what we're thinking about.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us going over the day's activity at One Bills Drive as the Bills get ready to host the Carolina Panthers Kids Day, 1 o'clock on Saturday. Sal, do you think it matters at all to the Bills whether Carolina plays their guys? I doubt they're going to. The coach, I think, is just trying to keep, you know, maybe his guys on edge or something. You know, what do I know? But all week it sort of sounded like people who cover them are saying, yeah, he's leaving the door open, but come on. Like, it's not probably not right. going to happen. Does it matter at all?
I don't think it matters to the Bills. What would matter, I think, is if they don't – like, I don't think going into the game the Bills care either way. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to do what we're going to do. We got to worry about ourselves. But what I do think could matter is if Carolina were to play their starters, if they were to play higher-level players, and the Bills have a few guys who play a certain way, it may get you to – well, you know, they did that against a starting offense. They did that against a starting defense versus, well, the competition was kind of likewise. So who knows? And I'm thinking about specifically Joe Andreessen here last week. You know, part of what the story of Joe Andreessen was not just how well he played. He did it against the Pittsburgh Steelers starting offense.
Right.
He wasn't just doing it against third stringers. And I think that elevates him even in the minds of, like, the coaches and the staff to say, like, okay, like, that wasn't just a guy going out there in the fourth quarter of a game against the third stringers. He actually played against a starting unit.
Sal, one unit we haven't talked very much about, I would say, is offensive line. Want to size that up for us? I mean, the Bills sure. make a change at center. How it's going? What is the depth at this point? And, of course, you know, if you have time, Keaton Bills. I mean, what is the latest there?
Keaton Bills, I don't think, is going to make the club. But you never know, I guess. Things go. Unfortunately, there are injuries, and let's hope that doesn't happen. But no, I don't think Keaton Bills is making it. Here's what I would tell you guys. Throughout training camp, same five guys took every snap almost. I think literally up only there was maybe one day Deion Dawkins wasn't there or left to go somewhere and came back or whatever. There was another day where maybe David Edwards or somebody might have rolled an ankle. I don't know. It's just like they left for a few plays. Either way. Otherwise, it has been the same five. We know who their starting five is, and there has been no question. Like years past, there's been battles. There's no battle this year. It's left to right. Deion Dawkins, David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, Spencer Brown. That's their five. Beyond them, I can give you five. I wonder if they keep 9 or 10 or maybe even 11, which probably is not going to happen because just by numbers of the last few years. Although I'll give you one caveat where that could happen in a second, okay? But behind them, to me, Alec Anderson is their number one kind of interior swing guy, although they've played him at center a lot. They really like him at center. That will impact what they do elsewhere, but that's number one. Ryan Vandermark is clearly their backup swing tackle to me. He can play left tackle. He can play right tackle. So that's 7 right there. Cedric Van Pran Granger is really interesting because he's a center. He's a draft pick. He's probably going to get kept. I don't think you want to expose him to waivers, mm-hmm. so you're probably keeping him. But I will tell you that Will Clapp has played more center, I think, from what I've seen in training camp and preseason. But Will Clapp also got hurt yesterday, left with trainers and didn't practice today. So, you know, where does that stand? So let's give the edge to Cedric Van Pran Granger right there. There's your 8 guys. Okay, now your 9 would be Will Clapp, maybe. All right. Your 10, Lyle Collins, maybe. I'm not really sure. Like, he doesn't – he can play tackle. He can play guard. That's really they love about that. I don't think he's like gone out there and been you know super impressive necessarily in these camps. And then the other guy is Tylon Grable. Tylon Grable's got a little bit of run here. He's a late draft pick, and who would have thought Tylon Grable would be in this conversation? But I think he is to be kept on this roster.
Yeah, it feels to me, Sal, like from your reporting, and then like just some conglomeration of the other Bills beat people that I follow, it just feels like Collins has had a tough summer. There just might be too many injuries, too much wear and tear on him at this point. You know, like I would really, it was a cool idea, you know, a name player, but boy, I'd have a tough time counting on him to be a swing guy playing inside or outside. It just doesn't seem like, especially in space, like outside, I would be really worried about him, I think.
And I think that's where the issue comes, where they need another guy, though, because other than Vandermark, unless they keep Tylon Grable, which is possible, Tylon Grable might be kept, and he's a late pick, but maybe that's the guy that kind of surprises everybody he's kept. But, you know, what do you do on the outside? Now, the one caveat, if they want to keep 11, did you guys hear Matthew Smiley this morning on with Jeremy and Joe? Did you listen to that at all?
I did not catch it, no.
Okay, it's really interesting. He said Jeremy asked him, or Joe did, one or the other, asked him about keeping different players because of special teams. Something we've talked about a lot, right? Does the body type change? Because of the new kickoff, are you keeping more of a certain type of player than you used to? And he said, actually, you know what really could change? He said you might have a team keep an extra offensive lineman just for the purpose of blocking because it's so much like a run play, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really interesting. So I'm thinking, okay. And he said that one might be like a trigger, like the extra guy on game day where he's not really playing, but you're keeping him for special teams. And I just wonder if that means 11, or is that still a 10th guy who, okay, you know, we could still use him on the offensive line, but you know, we're going to use him on these kickoff kick returns. So it'll be on the return, not on the kickoff necessarily. But I thought that was interesting.
This is going to sound like a bit, but actually it's true. There was a classic father-son conversation last night at the dinner table after the show last night about the kickoffs. My son just came out with it. He's like, what is the deal? He's been playing Madden a lot lately, which doesn't have that yet, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, it's last right. year. So he's like, what is the deal with the kickoffs? And I thought I did really well explaining what the rules are, some of the rules,
mm-hmm.
What, you know, it is, why they're doing it, these things. And he came back at me with, it's just so weird, though.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I think that's a lot of fans right now. It's just weird to look at. You know, the kicker all there by his lonesome in the middle of the field, just standing there getting ready to kick off and everything else with it. But I like it. Sal, I think they're getting, so far, I mean, it's only the preseason and it could change, but I feel like the league right now would be excited, happy with what the kickoffs have done or how the changes have gone over.
Yeah, I believe it's over 80% that are getting returned now, right? Something like that. It was mm-hmm. only 20-something percent last year throughout the regular.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
The season, now you might be getting more of that anyway because teams are trying to, you know, evaluate, so they're kicking it intentionally into the landing zone. There is one chance still here that you could see a rule change again to put the touchback at the 35. I think that's happening this coming weekend is when there's going to be like some discussion amongst the competition committee and owners meetings, owners, whatever, rules. And they're going to, there's a possibility. I think it's outside chance, but still a possibility. They could say, we're worried about, you know, what you guys have talked about, which is teams are just going to say, heck, I'm just putting it in the end zone. I'll give it to them at the 30. So to prevent that, say, we're putting it at 35 instead of the 30 because that way teams won't be doing that.
I saw something about that this week indicating that the chances – well, you're not saying that, but you're saying there's a chance. I felt like it was all but ruled out that at this late stage they would do it for this year. Maybe it's something to consider, you know, once they get a look at the season here. But I'd be surprised if they made that big a change. I think that's a big change at this late juncture. There's only one preseason game left. So right. That would really be stunning to me if they cross teams up by throwing that out there now.
Yeah, me too, Bulldog. I don't think they'll change it. And I think the numbers are showing already that, you know, that like we said, that they're getting what they want. But I wouldn't doubt it as the season goes on. We see a lot more of that. And then next year, you guys are talking to me and I'm covering the owners' meetings and we're like, hey, they're moving this thing to the 35 this year.
Right. Yeah, because what would cause them to go there? It's once the games start to matter, teams just go, you know what? I got too much on my plate. I got too much to wear. I don't need it. Just put it at the 30. I don't care. Kick it out of the end zone and just to hell with all this. And I still think that is going to end up being maybe the majority of kickoffs.
There are two things. We talked about this. I liked this conversation last week that can happen that are good for the kicking team, though. That are to be remembered
right,
when processing
right.
this, and that is a penalty
right.
on the return. There are tons of those. You've got an uncle who's telling you that every kickoff or punt has a penalty on it.
Right.
And then also
turnovers.
Fumbles.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you put the ball in play, give yourself a chance not just to get scored on, but
right.
also to, you know, do well. Sal, what's tomorrow?
Sean McDermott speaks at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We already know the starters aren't playing, but he might, you know, give us some indication of how it might go. Ben DiNucci, Anthony Brown, those two quarterbacks who could wind up playing. And then the team will have a very short pregame practice. Tomorrow's basically like a regular season Friday, right? Because there's a game on Saturday, so it makes sense. So that's what tomorrow will be.
Okay, we'll try to fit you in if you're available.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm excited about the kickoffs. We've talked about it a lot, of course. I think maybe a lot of fans, some are, and some are probably just like, oh, when men were men, they would have to run all the way down there. That's obviously, you know, the league is so woke.
Yeah.
Now we have kickoff. We have the shells, and we have kickoffs that are just not real kickoffs.
I did see whatever. It's just somebody on Twitter reacting to like the first preseason games where there were a few guys. Jonathan Taylor, most notably. This I think was in reaction to some lineman for I don't know what team wearing the shell. Like, that's it. I'm done with football.
Done.
Like, okay, I mean, good luck to you. Dude's wearing a extra padded helmet, and that's it. I can't do this anymore.
Doesn't want to be concussed.
Yeah.
I mean, who could respect that?
Yeah. Well, I'm also excited. I appreciate and respect the effort that's being made, but I just say it all the time. I think these coaches will avoid the unknown as much as they can, and I feel like once the games matter, they're gonna fall back on their default setting, which is going to be just, get out of here. I don't want to deal with it.
Touchback.
Yep.
Then once in a while, the kicker won't get the ball to the end zone. He'll mishit it.
Right.
And, oh, good luck to that guy if that happens. If the coach ordered the touchback. Like, it's, you know, take the points. I'll just take the field goal.
Yeah.
Well, you have to actually make the field goal. You have to kick. You have to make the touchback. 803-0550. Thoughts on that? Anything Bills related? We are here for it. Paul Hamilton will join us in the 6 o'clock hour. He's been covering the Bills too, and we'll get a little taste of hockey in with Paul then also. We'll look for your calls next. After sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I believe Khalil Shakir will emerge as the Bills' clear-cut number one wide receiver. He's an excellent run-after-catch player. He's a great route runner as well. He played 92% of his snaps in the slot last season. He might shift more outside this year with the departures of both Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. But with Curtis Samuel now week-to-week with a toe injury, to me that only emboldens my stance that it will be Khalil Shakir that ends up leading Bills' wide receivers in catches and yards. He will be a value this season in fantasy football.
Field Yates.
That's my dude right there.
Field Yates is your dude.
Field Yates. Preach! The gospel according to Field Yates.
I wouldn't bet at all against that, but I think if he's right, the numbers are not great. I don't think there's any year where Shakir has like 100 catches. 80. 70. I think I'd be closer to that.
Yeah.
If that leads the team, if I'm right, which we're all guessing, like even Sal just now was like, I have no idea what this is going to look like. It's 2.5 weeks away. He's out there every day. I don't know.
Right.
I don't feel so bad for saying that every day myself. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But if Shakir leads the team in stuff, he's not going to lead the team in touchdowns. If he leads them in catches and yards.
Well, I guess it depends if how much of a foothold the everybody eats thing gets, right? I mean, if he leads them with 80 catches, say, because like, I like him to have a big year, but I am also not, I'm not expecting him to have like a Diggs season or anything. You know, I just think he can step up and maybe even grow from there once he steps up this year, but we'll see. But if he leads them with 80 and I've got three other dudes, you know, Kincaid has probably close to that number if he doesn't, you know, have more.
Yep.
So Shakir leads with 80, Kincaid's around there, and then I've got three guys with 50, you know, I'm doing okay, I think. Three receivers, not James Cook, three receivers. Then, you know, maybe, because really it was Diggs and then, you know, Kincaid, of course, had his 73. And then it's Davis, and then there's a pretty big drop. Even there's a big drop from Diggs to Davis, let alone. So if you don't have as big a gap between, say, Shakir and Samuel and Coleman and whomever else, I can't bring myself to say Mac Hollins. I just don't expect him to do more than catch like 20 passes or something.
That's probably right. I agree with that.
So. You know, that can make it work. But I know what you're saying. Like, if your leading receiver is, you know, a very pedestrian number, it really matters what is going on behind him a lot more than it has when you could count on, you know, 115 catches from Diggs.
It is probably right to assume that Allen is going to get his yards. What is that number? The betting, we'll have Joe Ostrowski tomorrow to ask this of. The betting line is around 37.50. It's probably maybe everybody's number in that stuff is brought down because of injury risk. I mean, if they miss two or three games, the bet still counts. So the over-under is lower. Maybe that's to say, I don't know, do you have an opinion on this? Maybe that's to say that everybody you want to bet over if you knew no injuries.
Right. Yeah.
So if you get 3,500 to 4,000, that's a pretty big range. But from Allen, split the difference. 3,750, that's the line. You get 3,750 from Allen. There are going to be some nice years in the receiving core. If there's not one, just the only guy this could be for me is Coleman. The only guy who could just be like dominant, but I'm not expecting that. So I don't think Kincaid even has that. If you get that year from Allen, which is probably the likeliest outcome, then what does it look like? And the odds would probably be, it's just sort of projections would play it safe. They would be divided up. Everybody eats pretty evenly. Samuel, Shakir, Kincaid, Coleman. That's it, right? I mean, Cook is probably close to one of those guys. Maybe, could be.
Sure.
He's next.
He's 40 to 50 catches, I think. Like, that's around where he was last year, I think. I don't have this memorized, but I think he was around 40.
Okay.
I can look real quick. I do have that open here. Let me tell you, Cook was 44. Okay.
44.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I don't want to like completely tip over what I just said about Shakir, but the idea of him smashing is based on what? It's based on familiarity. It's based on trust. And if it starts well, I feel like they will go to it. Like, he'll become the guy that they're okay. He's A, always open. B, dependable. Like, if the Allen puts it near him, he's going to be where he should be when he's open. That's B. I skipped. A, he's always open. B, he's where he's supposed to be when he's open. C, when the ball's near him, he catches it. D, he's dangerous after he has the ball in his hands. Like, he's shown some very good run after catch ability here. Maybe the best they've had in this window, really. Like, none of the receivers, Brown, Beasley, Sanders, Diggs even, was not great. It wasn't a yak monster, really, Diggs. I feel like Shakir has shown an ability to shake guys in the open field. So I feel like if that gets off to a good start, they could just become like, all right, this is the guy that's getting 12 targets. Because we can count on it. I've said it before. It really depends on where he is formationally, too, schematically. Because we know that Allen really counted on Beasley. And no, he never led the team in receptions because Diggs was here. But he liked to go to that if he could trust it. And with Beasley dropping off and then dropping off completely the roster, they haven't had that. And I feel like if Shakir is in the slot a lot, 70% of the time, 70% of his snaps, I think he's got to look at leading the team in catches.
803-0550. This is not related, but it's something I thought of earlier today and wanted to bring up. Name Miami's last playoff win.
Didn't they beat... I have a home game I'm seeing against the Colts with a running back, Lamar somebody or other. Is that, does that sound at all like I'm in the right ballpark?
That is exactly it.
Lamar Smith. Lamar Smith. Okay. That's the last playoff win.
That is the last playoff win.
Colts in blue, Dolphins at home in white. Yes, that game just absolutely came to my son. It's Miami, sunny, but I could see that the uniforms on the field for that game.
The year was 2000.
It's been a while.
Look at me, all pumped up. Look, oh, you've gone so long without playoff wins, but that's 24 years since they've won a single postseason game. It's just post Marino, just. Dave Wannstedt is the coach.
Wow, Dave Wannstedt.
A young Peyton Manning on the other side.
Yeah.
That's Miami's last playoff win. Does that feel right? You got it. Like, you didn't even struggle.
I knew. I thought that was a win against Peyton Manning and the Colts. I wasn't sure if it was their last one, but I remember that. I knew it was a long time ago because, you know, Lamar Smith.
Yes. They are 0-5. In the playoffs since, all wild card losses, including each of the last 2 years. Steve is next. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to express that maybe this Bills team is going to be successful just in a way that we're not used to seeing them. I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see a little bit more 13 personnel this year, especially once we get inside the 40. And optimistic about Coleman, it just, I don't want to say he's possibly could be a, you know, overdrafted version of Gabe Davis, but I think he's going to do a lot of blocking, and I just haven't seen any flashes from him in the postseason to make me excited for him having a breakout in the first six games of the year.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll see if Coleman plays Saturday. even quite a bit. You had him with the starters in Pittsburgh, but also past that, you know, like a lot of rookies. So that's up in the air. Where would you lean?
Whether he plays, specifically yeah. Coleman?
Yes.
I would expect him to play. I'm not positive he's going to be, you know, again, we don't know what their favorite formation is going to be, three receivers, four receivers, five, 12 personnel, whatever it's going to be. If it, when they start the year with three dudes on the field, unless Samuel is hurt, which he is currently hurt, I wouldn't bet on Coleman being in the, like, they line up with one tight end, running back, and three receivers, I wouldn't expect Coleman to be one of them. I think he'd be the next guy in, unless Samuel's hurt. If Samuel's hurt, then I think all bets are off.
Which he is. And maybe there's a tip coming Saturday whether they expect him to play week one. I mean, Samuel is probably still in play for week one.
Yeah, I think so.
I would, based on the nature of his injury, I would guess no. In which case, Coleman is in. I agree with your assessment.
And then maybe,
and if
they,
he's in,
don't play him Saturday.
Right. Who's behind him?
Terrell Shavers.
Shavers.
I think.
He would play Saturday, for sure.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Steve. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. We'll look for your calls again at the top of the hour, 803-0550. Talking vibes this time of year. Getting closer to the season, the Bills have their doubters with the important players that have left. How good do you feel? Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was moving on.
You were about to say lines open, 803-0550. So I'll finish that thought for you because I interrupted because I was eager to get this. And you know where the vibes are not good right now?
Cleveland.
Cleveland is vibeless.
That's where I was going.
It's bad vibes. Deshaun Watson has been shut down. He couldn't throw in practice. His shoulder's bothering him. There was already some question about whether he was going to. He hasn't played at all. And there was some question about whether he would play this weekend. And I'm not sure. Did they rule that out already, too? Or is it just
no?
Just assuming he probably won't play this weekend because he's already missing practice with arm soreness? Maybe he's shot.
Maybe.
Man.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible. His shoulder cost him most of last season, and it would make sense. Like, that happens. So, that is possible. And if I'm a Browns fan, I'm not sure I'd hate it.
I mean, I would like to be done with him as soon as possible, but it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Like, financially, it's going to hurt for a while.
That's right, but that's taken care of for this year. At least, and Jameis Winston is the backup, and for me, I've always wanted to see him back on the field since he was, you know, basically dumped by the Bucs. He goes to New Orleans. I couldn't believe it when they went for Andy Dalton over Jameis Winston. Coaches just hate interceptions. They hate turnovers, and he is a turnover machine. But there's also upside with Winston, and I don't think he's great.
Yep.
But he's not just somebody who could never help you. You know, here we are in Buffalo talking about who the backup should be. There's nobody available as good as Jameis Winston. Maybe Tannehill would be. He's the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would say that, actually. But everybody else we're talking about is like a Trubisky, if you will. And, you know, Cleveland has it better than that. Plus, they won 11 games
with
last year anyway.
Six dudes playing, one of whom was Joe Flacco.
That would give you some confidence. Like, if you didn't have Watson, well, maybe that's not so bad. That's how I would feel about it. So the vibes, yeah, you know, you kind of don't want to hear that your starting quarterback can't throw in the middle of August.
Right.
That's a team with recent experience of getting away with it. And I think Winston is probably better than, I definitely would say this, anybody else they had last year.
I appreciate all that. There is no way they get away with it 2 years in a row, though. I just don't think they will get it. It's such an important position to be able to cobble it together, to be good enough on defense, to just make that work for you. I just can't see it.
How did they do it? Their Pythagorean record was 9.4 and 7.6, so they were lucky. By point differential, they were lucky. They were first in yards allowed in the league.
Right.
Defense was first in yards allowed. Interceptions. Here you go. This is how you do it when you're not that good. You rank third in the league in interceptions and 32nd in interceptions thrown.
Right.
Then you go to the playoffs and throw multiple pick sixes right. and lose because it's very random.
Which somebody who's really, really not that smart predicted would happen.
You.
Hi.
You're saying.
Yes.
You're putting yourself down.
Yes.
Just to be modest.
Yeah.
803-0550. Back to the Bills after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at CDC.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.